You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That is The Rat. Atamaria e te whānau e whakarongo ana koutou ki te reo irirangi poho. No mai haere mai ki te hōtaka parakuahi. Morena, if you've just tuned in, you're on 95BFM and this is The Breakfast Show and we're about to talk about the Basement Theatre and what they've got on at the moment with Jason Te Mete. Morena, how are you?
Morena, kia ora, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's so great to have you in here. You're part of the Tuatara Collective and you've got this show called Fear Fear, which is on this week.
Yes, we do.
It must be nice to be back in the theatre.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's been a project that's kind of been postponed three times, so yep. It's really nice to finally get back in there and get it up this weekend.
Yeah, so. That's so exciting. So can you tell us a little bit about your background in theatre and performing, Jason? How did you get into it?
I'm born and bred Tauranga and kind of got my toe dipped into the performing arts when I was at school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a classically trained pianist.
Oh, wow.
So that was my kind of mana as a performing artist initially. And then that extended into music and singing. And then I got into the kind of theatre realm, which is involved singing and acting and dance and mm-hmm. worked for a long time in that industry. And then I guess I wanted a bit more, so I started directing and started creating my own work and building up a canon of Aotearoa stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last kind of 10 years, we've been really pushing that ahead and set up Tuatara Collective 3 years ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really, really awesome place to have kind of like come from. And then it must be great as well when you find a bunch of like-minded people in any kind of creative industry who you can sort of click with and think, yeah, we could be making work together. This is really nice. What's the kind of genesis of the Tuatara Collective? How did you all sort of come together and what do you do as well? What is the Tuatara Collective?
So when in 2015, I went to the Edinburgh Festival with a project that I was part of creating right from scratch with Okereke Dance Company. So there was six actors or performers, should I say,
mm-hmm.
and we wrote it, and it was called K Road Strip, and it was all based on stories of K Road and right back to pre-colonial Māori, the tradition of what that strip was and meant, and the layers and layers of stories that I'm sure most of our listeners can imagine come from K Road and the history of K Road. And when we got over there, you know, there was a big component of kaupapa Māori in the piece in terms of text, in terms of song, lyric, reel, and the audiences just ate it up, you know.
Awesome.
And it really opened my eyes up to kind of say, look, we don't need to worry about translation here, because our Waidua and the spirit that comes through our mahi and the way that we connect to that material is it just resonates through performing arts, whether you understand the language or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really inspired me to build and make more of that stuff.
Cool.
So I set up Tuatara Collective. Tuatara Collective pretty much comes from my nickname, which is Tuatara.
Cool.
So ever since I was a kid, I've been, not kid, but when I moved to Auckland, one of my best friends was Samoan, and his brother could never remember my name, so he'd used to just call me every Māori word he knew. So it was Mataku Paikia Temete Tuatara,
nice.
Occasionally Whale Rider, just because of all the Māori kind of stuff that was on TV and things. And that just shortened down to Temete Tuatara, and then I became really obsessed with these little creatures.
Yeah,
and
they're just amazing.
They
are.
They're so fascinating, and the more kind of research I did into them, the more, you know, and to my good friend's hilarity, the more I realised that I was actually possibly a little bit of a Tuatara myself.
Nice.
In terms of, you know, sitting on a rock basking in the sun is often where you'll find me. But also the wisdom of Tuatara and the kind of peaceful but also ferocious when they need to be calm, collected, ageless, you know, they just live on forever. Anyway, waffling on about Tuatara.
I think the coolest, when I went to Zealandia down in Wellington a while ago, and the coolest thing I saw, there were lots of beautiful birds, but the coolest thing was the Tuatara. Yeah. And they just look like little, you know, sculptures. They don't move for days. They just sit there like that.
Yeah.
And all the park rangers, like, everybody go and look at this, like, plank number 51. There's a Tuatara, and it's just been hanging out for 3 days. Go and check it out, you know?
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah, so also then you know, exploring more about the history of Tuatara and the spiritual connection to Māori, kaupapa Māori, in terms of what they mean. There's various different different angles, but one of them is that they are kind of messenger of death, which is a darker thought around the Tuatara. But then there's also a flip side of that, which is that they are the guider, you know, and they, there's a part of the legend of Maui and his final journey to go and defeat Hine Nui Te Pō, where we all, most of us, know the story about the birds and how there was the tui and the fantail there, and he told them to shush. but of course, one of them got the giggles and started laughing. Whether you're from some tribes, it's the fantail, others it's the tui that kind of caused Papa Tuanuki to wake up. But a lot of people, there's an extra part of that story in which the Tuatara walked with Maui the that final stretch of the way right to the opening.
That's amazing.
And in retrospect, Maui chose to turn into a moke moke, which is a lizard, and should have turned into the Tuatara because he would have been stronger and been able to kind of fiercely get through there. But that's just part of a legend or a sort of version of it. But I guess where I was going with that was around this wisdom of Tuatara and this insightfulness in their third eye, which is quite a common knowledge of the Tuatara, that they have that extra kind of weird and spiritual thing that I thought, what happens if you were to get a whole bunch of them together on a rock, sitting in the sun, the magic that you can make and the stories that you could tell and the insight you would gain from those collective third eyes. So that was the inspiration for the company. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, and we set up, really, a company was needed for us to really project our mahi that we were doing and come from a really, you know, good business place.
Yeah.
And so we started with my first play that I wrote called Over My Dead Body, Little Black Bitch, which we did last year and then this year as well, which went really well. And then I've also written Uninvited and With These Hands, which are all part of the Over My Dead Body series.
Right.
So of course, they all involve some kind of dead body.
Dun, dun, dun.
Fear Fear, however, is a bit different.
Yeah, so Fear Fear is kind of amazing because you've got, it's sort of a two-part, but they go hand-in-hand thing of, you've got these workshops and you've also got these performances as well. And it's all kind of around Pacific performance and dance. Can you tell us a little bit about this project and what people might expect as well if they are going to head along to it?
Yeah, sure. So this year we've been working with five young Pacifica performers, really vibrant, a range of experience in terms of what their mana is. So we've got all of them are of Pacific heritage, four out of five are Samoan. They're all very adept and knowledgeable around Samoan siva and the traditional kind of aspects of Samoan dance and movement. But they've also trained in dance at MIT, the performing arts program at MIT, and all Pacific dance. So they've done Kukailan Ura, they've done Niuean Haka, they've done Tongan stuff, Fijian, all of the Tuvaluan, you know, all of those methods, plus singing and then acting on the side. So my focus is the music and the and the acting stuff with these guys when I was kind of teaching them at university. And this project is giving them a platform to kind of bring what they know to the city stage at the basement with a double lecture of, I guess for me, I wanted to provide an opportunity for people who aren't Pacifica to be able to attend a Fia Fia night, which is something that's kind of a staple in the Pacific cultures once a month, once every 2 months. But a lot of Pākehā people or visiting people from other countries have never experienced the
incredible... So what is a Fia Fia night? Because they sound very fun, I have to say.
Yeah. Ultimately, generally a Fia Fia is a fundraiser for something.
Yeah.
It's a family, an ainga kind of thing. So someone in the family will have something they're doing and they'll say, right, let's do a Fia Fia in a couple of weeks' time. Mm-hmm. Literally translates as celebration.
Cool.
And they'll gather their friends and people who can perform whatever that is, from traditional to contemporary to hip-hop dance to doing a spoken word poem and whatever comes out on the night, and the whole family turn up. And, you know, in the sense of most Pacific nations, when you're performing, your guests can get up and stick some money on you. In that sense of fundraising, or they can purchase a food plate, you know, which is a supper that's been put together And it all just goes back to whoever that person in the Ainga was that was needing the funds for whatever.
So it's a really nice kind of community affair and an amazing thing to be able to bring, I guess, into a space like the basement, which is such a vibrant community and which I think a lot of people in, you know, the Auckland theatre scene have really been missing over lockdown as well. This feels like quite a wonderful way to kind of reopen that space as well and kind of bring people back together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it, you know, basement is exactly what you said. It's one of those places that people gather to.
Mm.
Often it's even more than just the piece of theatre they're seeing. It's the space there. It's got that vibe that people like to hang out there. And
I feel
often, I'm not Pacifica myself, I'm Māori, half Māori and multiple other European wonders in my blood. But, you know, I often get really... What's what I'm looking for? I feel sorry for people who have never been to a whewhia.
Mm.
And, you know, I've been working in South Auckland for the most of my kind of time in Auckland. And it's just such a different place and it's such a different energy and vibrance that gets, you know, let's be honest, it gets a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't have that opportunity to really get in,
mm-hmm.
involved in some of those communities and see the joy that performing arts can bring.
Absolutely, yeah. And so the workshops, how do people kind of get involved with that?
Yeah, so we've got three workshops. We did one last night, our first one, which went really fun.
Awesome.
Tonight we've got another one at 6:30 and then one tomorrow night at 6:30. They're pretty much separate projects. So tonight it's Vogue.
Cool.
One of our performers is an expert and, you know, really cranking out some Vogue stuff. So
that's awesome.
That's really fun. Tomorrow... evening is Siva Samoa and songs where we'll be kind of leading into the Sasa and the Whakaopaki, which are the hand clap dances, traditional ones that are really fun to learn and play with. And then on Friday and Saturday night is the performance where our guys will perform plus a handful of guests that we've got coming to play with us as well. So
fantastic.
Yeah,
it's kind of taking... It sounds like a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and we've also, you know, of course it's a theatre and it's our company is a professional theatre company, so we're lifting the bar of a whewhia. So whewhia is just, you know, mates come and do things. This we're doing that, but also raising that standard. And
cool.
Some of the stuff is just mind-blowing what these guys can really chuck out.
This is so awesome, and I think it is a great way to kind of kick off the basement's, you know, reopening stage as well. It will be a really amazing celebration, and if people want to head along, as you said, there are a couple of workshops tonight and tomorrow, and then the shows kick off on the weekend. It's a sliding scale on the prices, 10 to 35. Is that different for the workshops and the shows, or...?
Yeah, so 10 for the workshops,
and
then the performances are between 15 and 35.
Sweet.
35 is with a kind of donation, as you know, to some of our artists, which is a basement policy that they've put into place for anyone who's got the funds to help out the artists who have been struggling for a while.
Yeah. It's a great, it's actually a really great system, I think.
It is. I really agree. And, you know, it's an optional thing too. So the other thing is it's very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but with permission. So if you'd like to participate and be, you know, audience participation, you can kind of put your hand up and be part of that. There's a raffle, so bring some cash or a little gold coin donation. And always a raffle with an amazing prize, which you will love. And there's also suppers, food plates afterwards, which is also cash. You can just purchase them as you leave to either eat there and then, or you can take them home, which is traditional.
That is so exciting. Hey, Jason, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about whewhia at the Basement Theatre. Hope you have a fantastic couple of performances and I hope the workshops go really well.
Thank you very much. And just one more thing, don't forget it's for everyone, not just Pacifica people, so don't be afraid. Come along.
Sounds like a great time. Bring a couple of mates. Have a good one, I reckon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.